miraculous story as we think about what God did for us and how much Jesus gave up so that he could be able to communicate with us clearly. Incredible, incredible message that we share this morning. And as Pastor Ryan said, oftentimes around Christmas, there's so many other things that are in our minds that it's sometimes hard to focus on the story itself. Let me say there were 400 years of silence, 400 years of silence between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And so as we think about those, I feel your book did, the story as we're working through, did a great job transitionally giving you some information. Let me just share that with you in case you didn't read it. For over 400 years after Malachi's prophecies, no prophets or leaders rose to the level of inclusion in the record of Holy Scripture. For this reason, the period is sometimes referred to as the silent years. In actuality, these years of social and political upheaval were anything but silent for the Jewish people. The Maccabean revolt against the Seleucids during the 2nd century BC was one of the most heroic eras of Jewish history. During these 400 years, numerous significant writings were produced as well. The Qumran community copied the books of Isaiah and the Psalms, Deuteronomy, and other sacred writings. These ancient manuscripts were discovered by a shepherd boy in AD 1947 near the Dead Sea and are known today as the Dead Sea Scrolls. The Deuterocanonical books, or books of the Apocrypha, accepted as Holy Scripture by the Roman and Eastern churches, were taught in the years between the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Septuagint and the Greek translation of the Old Testament were also an important product of those years. It became the Bible for Greek-speaking Jews outside of Palestine and later for the early church. But God's story wasn't finished. And so today we're going to be talking about that continuation of the story and how Jesus came and his birth. So I thought it would be very important and appropriate for us to be able to see the difference that is made there. Let me share with you just 10 questions just to see how much you know about the story. Yes, there are 311 shopping days until Christmas. Usually you hear a much different number, and I think there's summer in between there, so I'm kind of looking forward to that as well. But as I'm going to give you 10 questions, these are true and false. True and false. And so if you want to kind of write them down, T or F, like on your paper, so you kind of figure out if you can get all 10 of them right, that would be great. So we'll see how you do. And you can be able to respond to each one, and I'll give you the answer right away. Okay. Before Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph were married and living in Bethlehem. True or false? Don't answer out loud. The correct answer is false. Now, see, I know some of you know this, but you got to keep your excitement to yourself now. Just hold on. Okay. Yes, the answer is false. So you didn't give them a chance to write it down. See, that's what you have. Number two, Mary and Joseph traveled to Bethlehem for a Roman census. You write it down, true or false? The correct answer is true. Number three, Mary rode to Bethlehem on a donkey. True or false? The correct answer is false. Really? Yes, we have no idea how she got there. All we know is they traveled. We know that. I mean, Joseph could have carried her all the way for all we know. They were very poor, not likely that they owned a donkey. So we're really not sure how this all happened, but it makes for a nice story, and those Christmas cards have great pictures of Okay, number four. An innkeeper told Mary and Joseph there was no room in the inn. True or false? The correct answer is false. There is no innkeeper. We have no idea where he came from, but it makes a great Christmas pageant when we have them up front, the little boys in their bathrobes, and they go knocking on the doors. There's no mention of an innkeeper in Scripture. So, probably was one, but we don't have any mention of it. I know, I'm blowing away your whole Christmas. I'm doing this after Christmas, so you'll have time to regroup before you get there again. You'll forget all this. Number five, Jesus was born in a stable. True or false? The correct answer is false. Yes. We know that what we don't really know where it was. We think that it was a stable. But the stable at that point was a cave. So it's not kind of the same thing. So it doesn't really mention what it was. It only mentions that he was placed in a manger where animals feed. So we know that much. Number six, the shepherds heard angels sing glory to God in the highest. True or false? The correct answer is false. They didn't sing, they said. The scripture says they were saying. Now, we don't know if these were singing angels or not, but scripture just says, and they were saying glory to God in the highest. But we think it's pretty if they sang, so that's usually what we say. And that's what a lot of the Christmas songs say as well. Number seven, there were three wise men or magi. True or false? The correct answer is that was different. False. We only know there were three gifts. We don't know how many wise men. We don't know how many magi that were there. There could have been a whole herd of them. But we know there were three different gifts that were offered. And so now there's some tradition that actually have names for them. But those are just tradition, church tradition. They're not scripture that we would see. Number eight, King Herod knew Bethlehem was where Jesus was born. True or false? The correct answer is true. He did know. However, if you answered false because you said he had to consult people to find that out, I'll give you credit for that. So you get credit for both, okay? So I'm going to go, yeah. Because right now, some of you have 100%, and that's really exciting. Number nine, shepherds and wise men saw Jesus lying in the manger. True or false? The correct answer is false. There were only shepherds there. The wise men came probably about a year and a half, 2 years later. That star was a little long in getting them there. And they came to the house. Matthew tells us about the wise men, and they came to the house, not to the manger. And so the shepherds were the only ones at the manger. And number 10, Christians have always celebrated the birth of Jesus on December 25th. True or false? And the correct answer is false. We're not even sure when it is. Evidently, it wasn't important enough for God to give us a specific day of when he was born. It was very important for us to be able to know that he was born and why he came. And it was very important that we know about the crucifixion and the resurrection. We think probably it was maybe sometime in the spring that was actually when Jesus was born, because the shepherds were out watching their flocks. And at that point, that was more springtime than it was winter. They would have been in the stable or kept in probably in the wintertime. So how many of you got 100%? Whoa! How many of you got 90%? All right. 80? 70? 60, 50. How many are just glad you got to play, right? a lot to for us to be able to understand and to learn in regard to it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Let's pray. Father, open our hearts. Teach us in Christ's name. Amen. If anything, we probably know that there's a lot that we don't know in regard to all of Scripture. And that's why it's so important. We keep reading it over and over and over, keep learning all the time as we're going through. Now, as we would look at this particular... Could you put the power back in this? Because there, thank you. First of all, the Word was made flesh. The Word was made flesh. And so as we see that, it's important for us to understand what the Word was. And because that's, in the beginning was the Word, And that's an important part. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Now, who is the Word? The Word is? Good answer. The Word is Jesus, yes. And that's important that we would understand that, because this makes a big difference in all of our understanding of Scripture. Sometimes we think that Jesus only came about in the New Testament. We think, okay, that's when Jesus was born, so that's when he started in the New Testament. And that is a false answer as well, because the Word was in the beginning. What other book starts out with in the beginning? Good, you're with me so far. Genesis, yes. So, in the beginning was when? In the beginning. Exactly, as we're understanding. So, if God created in the beginning the heavens and the earth, then Jesus was a part of creation. He was here from the beginning. So when it says the Word was in the beginning, and that's what's so interesting about the book of John, it starts out in the same way as Genesis, in the beginning. Genesis starts out in the beginning, John in the beginning. So we're knowing this is the very beginning. And so in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. So when we see those things, we see that the Word was with God. So if the Word is Jesus, then he was with God in the very beginning. So it's important that we would understand there's no going back on that, no misunderstanding in regard to it. So we know that the Word was with God. We know the Word was God. This is great doctrinal, foundational stuff. Nothing else is more significant than understanding who Jesus is. So we understand Jesus is God. He was in the beginning. He was in creation. We know, even if you read through Genesis chapter 1, it says, "Let us make man in our image," which was the Father, Son, and Spirit existed always. They did not have a beginning. The earth had a beginning, and creation had a beginning, but they did not. Now, that's so hard for our brains, because we say, well, then what took them so long to create the earth? if they were always. I mean, our brains just don't do it. We don't do infinite. We do beginning and endings. That's how our brain operates. So to understand infinite is like way beyond what we can handle. But it's so important that you understand that the Word was God. The Word was with God. The Word was God. That's why we believe in the Trinity. Because we believe the Word was with God. Jesus was with God. So that means there's more than one. And Jesus is God. So that's like so important. And if anyone tries to tell you anything differently, flags and alerts should go up for you, because this is a significant doctrine of our belief system. And so you have to make sure that that is part of your foundation in your belief, because the Word was Jesus. He said, "The Word became flesh and dwelled among us." That's Jesus. And so that's an important part of our whole belief system, our whole process and understanding of who Jesus is. Now, the Word was spoken, was the spoken Word of God. So if you have to say, what would God want to say to you? Well, he'd want to say to you just what Jesus said and just what Jesus did. Because when he became flesh, he became like us. And so that helps us. So he is the spoken Word of God. And Then God said, let there be light. There was light. Back to Genesis 1. God said, let there be a space between the waters to separate the waters of the heavens from the waters of the earth. Then God said, if you read through Genesis chapter 1, you constantly see all that God did by speaking the word. He created, he didn't need something to create man. He didn't need to put something together to make it happen. He just spoke it. Just the word, and there it was. So when we understand that God could speak, that shows how important the word is to us. So when we talk about the word of God through the word and through the Bible, then we're talking about the most significant thing that God could speak to us. We're talking about his word. That was Jesus. So God created by words. Let there be. Bam, there was, just by his words. He spoke it, and that's how powerful his words were. We see also the word is from the Greek logos, meaning logic or reason. And so it helps us to be able to understand that that's what he was trying to speak to us. He speaks to our logic. He speaks to our reason. God does not want you to be without reason and just to accept blindly. He wants you to process through and to think through the word as he would speak to us. He existed always, the voice appearing in the Old Testament is the voice of Jesus before he became flesh, who wrestled with Jacob. Well, we believe it was Jesus, who was the commander of God's armies to Joseph. We believe it was Jesus. Who was Melchizedek to Abraham? Believe it was Jesus. The fourth person in the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It was Jesus in the Old Testament before he became flesh and locked himself into the physical body of us. He appeared throughout different times as the voice of God throughout the Old Testament. And so as we see this, we see this Jesus was the only 200% person. He was fully human and fully God. Now, that's hard for us to grasp also, because there's no one ever like him. There was no one ever created that was like him. No one that we can understand what this means, because it's beyond our comprehension. We can only think of 100% person. We can't think of a 200%. And so for us to think about that, it's hard for us. Now, here's for me. I can think of Jesus as fully God. I have difficulty thinking of Jesus as fully human. That's my kind of circumstance that I kind of, because I have to, you know, I have to say, could Jesus have sinned if he wanted to? Was it possible for him to sin? Well, I believe it would have to have been possible, because how could he say he wasn't always tempted? If it's impossible for you to sin or to sin, temptation has no power over you, right? So if it's impossible, like if you have no teeth, you're not going to be tempted by steak, right? I mean, really. Because, like, what would you do with it? Like, that's no temptation. You could gum it for a long time, but that would not mean much to you. I mean, temptation has to have a real power over you, and you have to resist it. Well, Jesus did. He was tempted. He resisted. So I believe he could have sinned. He chose not to for our sake, because he was looking forward. Now, Jesus was born in an extraordinary manner as an ordinary person. So as we look at that, we think, wow, that is really beyond our understanding. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive, give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Now, think about this. Like, what an incredible story. Jesus was born to a poor, ordinary young virgin. Now, if God had not appeared by a dream to Joseph, do you think Joseph would have bought that? No. But the only people that got these angel appearances are Mary and Joseph. not the family. So what do you think the family thought? I mean, come on. Realistically, everybody thought, this is some fantastic story. You're going to tell us you're still a virgin and you're carrying a child? I don't think so, right? So you know what they must have faced. This was an extraordinary. Jesus was born with an earthly father as an ordinary carpenter. We start to think about all this, and you think what they must have faced, the alienation. I don't know. When they were gone, when they went to Bethlehem to be taxed, everybody in that family line was in the city. So it was kind of like a giant family reunion. But this giant family reunion had no place for a pregnant mom who, I don't think they were buying the story. I don't think they were buying the story. So you think about the shame that Joseph and Mary had to endure. Hey, small towns, are you kidding me? How news traveled quickly, how everyone would have had their own ideas and said, are you kidding? How could God? No, I don't buy that story. Why don't they just admit what happened? And in that time period, you could be stoned. I mean, this was not as enlightened as we are today. A single mom does not carry. I mean, I'm not saying it's an easy battle, so I please understand. Single moms have a great trial, and it's a great battle. But I'm telling you, it would have been nothing compared to that time period. So we see Jesus was born in humble circumstances to an ordinary carpenter, to an ordinary young girl, and he was born in that situation. And Jesus' humility tells us that he knows our circumstances and came to join us as well. Let me say, nothing that you face, God knows. God knows. Nothing that you're going through, he knows. He comes to join us in our circumstance. That's exactly what he did. He came in humility and experienced all that he experienced so that he could relate to us. The virgin will conceive and give birth to the son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. You see, he wanted to be God with us, and that's why he came. There was no room for the king in that time period. There was no room for him. There were no rooms in the town of Bethlehem for a poor couple to give birth. She must have, I mean, obviously she gave birth that next night. I mean, you know, whatever. So, I mean, it must have been pretty apparent, must have been pretty obvious, must have been right there. I love the portrayal on the screen that we saw as the song was given to us this morning and beautifully done. But the fact is that as we look at that, we think, wow, what an incredible message and story that was given to us. She wrapped him in cloths, placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. There was no place. There was no room for Jesus. The world is still too crowded today to receive Jesus. You know, not much different. People don't have a lot of room for Jesus in their life. Sometimes we, as followers and believers, don't have room. How sad is that? Because we squeeze his word out of our lives. We squeeze the time that we should be with him. We squeeze everything else into our thoughts except for him. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. I can only imagine, as he grew up, the kind of things that were said and carried in regard to him. No, the word came that we might see the light and points us to God. And that's exactly why Jesus came, that we could be able to see the light, that we could be pointed toward God, that we could know. Because the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. And that's the message that he has for us. You see, the word came to take away sin. And that's why sin is such a significant factor, and that's why it's so important that we understand what he wants. You see, the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb was a sacrifice that was made at that time for the sins of individuals. Jesus became our sacrifice. Today we celebrated that in communion, our sacrifice. We think about what he did for us. And so he came to take away sin. So shouldn't we be all the more conscious of how we live our lives, that sin would not be a part of that? You see, it's never too late to make room for Jesus in your life. Never. We can be able to look. The scripture says this is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I'm the worst of them all. He came to save sinners. That was his purpose. That was his plan. That was the only reason when he came to save us, came to be able to build a relationship with us. You see, it's not too late, no matter what stage of life you're in. He came to Abraham at 100, Moses after 40 years in the desert at 80, Jonah after he was running from God, Saul who persecuted Christians, Peter who denied Jesus, and Thomas who doubted. All of those were pursued by God with a relentless pursuit to draw them to himself. That's what he wants. It's not too late or too crowded to meet Jesus. The king came as the word to speak into the lives of common people, a common carpenter, a common virgin girl, a common shepherds, everyday people in everyday life. That's why Jesus came. And that's why he came, that we might have life. It can be today. Make room in your heart, make room in your life, make room to say, Lord, I need you in my life. I need you to make sure you have that right place, that right priority. I like to say it's as simple as ABC, because we need to really, Jesus said, except you become like little children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. So what's that mean? It's a simple thing. A, I admit I'm a sinner. That's not hard, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us, no one's perfect. So we know, A. B, I believe that Jesus died for me. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the scripture says, and you will be saved. And so there's an importance to understanding that my personal belief has to be a part of this. C, confess. I confess my sin to God. I don't have to confess to anybody else. He said, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you will be saved. There's an importance of understanding that it's just in that personal relationship with him. And then lastly, I receive. You don't have the gift of salvation unless you receive it personally. You may have admitted in the past, oh, that's not hard. You may have believed that Jesus died for your sins, and you may have confessed it over and over and over again. But until you received it into your life, that gift is not yours. You have to receive him, and that's by a personal invitation and a personal prayer that says, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I know I'm in need of a Savior. I invite you to come into my heart. I want to pray with you. And whether or not this is the first time you'll give your heart to Christ, or whether or not you've just been squeezing him out of your life and you want to rededicate your life to him, to make sure, whatever your prayer is, if you'd pray along with me. Heavenly Father, right now I want to bring each of these to you who their heart desires to have a right relationship with you. There are some that have really had their lives so crowded with things, they've not been open to hear your word and to know you. Lord, if that's the case, let them know this morning that they can have a right relationship with you by a simple act of faith. If there are those who have never prayed this prayer before and who have never really made a commitment to Jesus Christ, and they don't know for sure that if they would die, they would go to heaven, and they want to pray this to make sure of assurance of salvation, Lord, I ask that you'd help them to pray a prayer in their heart that would be just like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I invite you to come into my heart. I want to turn from my sins. I give you control of my life. Help me to live a new life. Thank you for coming into my heart. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for all that you mean to me. In Jesus' name. Father, I know that there are those who have prayed a prayer of rededication or a prayer of first-time commitment to you. And Father, I ask that you would help them to be faithful to this decision. This is just the beginning, but you'd help them to grow in that in the days ahead. Help them to walk daily in that faith. If this was your first time and you're praying as a to invite Christ into your heart and life and you want me to pray for you, would you put your hand just up and down so I could see that? Amen. Yes, I see. Praise God. Amen. Anyone else? If you rededicate your life to Christ this morning and you just know that he's been squeezed out of your life and time in many ways and you prayed that this morning, would you put your hand up and down too? Praise God. Father, thank you for your faithfulness to us. Thank you for the simple plan of salvation. Thank you for new life that you've given us. We love you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen. May God bless you and go with you.